For those of you that don't know me, my name is Lori, and I've been following Edgar and Holly Bailey Ministries back many years, and Edgar has since gone on to the Lord, and I still kept following because I found truth in life and victory, because I was searching for truth in all the wrong places. And what I mean by that is I we're all born with the desire to know God. He put that in us, and along the way we get tricked and trapped and you know, caught up in different things that we shouldn't have gotten caught up with. And it's in our nature. God did this to us to cry out for truth. And in my life, you know, I tried to find protocol or programs to follow, but they never gave me victory. And many of them brought me into bondage and slavery. And so years go by, and I'm crying out, but I don't even know who I'm crying out to. I'm just crying out. And one day I ended up in one of Edgar and Holly's services, and what happened that night was amazing. I actually saw Jesus and had a major conversion in my heart, because when you meet him face to face, you can't deny he's real. And he wooed me, and he continues to woo me. And so I sat under their teachings for a long time, and along the way, slowly things started to unravel in my heart from my past, or decisions that I made, or just things that I spoke, or maybe just sickness and disease. And I'm sure my story is similar to everybody in here. You know, we all don't find him the same way, but we eventually found him. And aren't we thankful for Jesus and the love that he freely gives to all of us? You know, and so as we go on, you know, we start to work on the issues of our heart when we're confronted with them. And it's not done in a way where it's filled with condemnation. It's actually a wooing of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. And he's always encouraging us to say yes again for more. And I'm one of those people, and I'm thankful for this, because when I was young and rebellious, I did not like correction. In fact, I would challenge people who tried to correct me. And but something happened in my heart, and there was a desire to be corrected. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, you know, a dad gives good correction to those he loves. And so I don't know why, but I love being corrected, because it always brings victory and breakthrough and further peace and revelation. And I meet people, and some people are like, yes. And others are like, and no. And so I respect both places, because I was the no for a long time. But I'm gonna say this with the heart of the Father. He loves to bring us into truth. And he actually cares deeply when we're missing it. And he's encouraging us he's cheering us on to just come a little, it's come another day. And in my past life, you know, I met many obstacles and challenges along the way. And, you know, I remember being bombarded by the enemy. And you don't need to know the story, because we all have the same story. But I remember one guy calling me out at a meeting, and he said, you're like one of those punching bags. The devil keeps beating on you, but you just keep getting up. And at first I thought, yeah, that's me. But then I thought, wait a minute, I don't want to get beat anymore. There's got to be a better way. And so, you know, there was some tenacity in there, but there was also some ignorance. And, you know, if you keep getting hit, chances are there's a problem in your life, or a door that's open causing the enemy, or allowing the enemy to give you the old 1-2. And so, you know, my lightning fast mind slowly came into some truth. And I'm so thankful for it. And this teaching that I'm going to teach on, you know, I call it Slivers of the Heart. Because many of you are, you know, seasoned saints and have, you know, overcome much and really love Jesus, but yet there's still some issues in your heart, and you're like, what is the problem? Why do I act like that? Or how come I'm not seeing the breakthrough in this area? And so I didn't know I would ever teach this publicly. It was a download from God to me, for me, and major correction. But here's the thing, when he was teaching me about this, there was a warning sign going off. Now think of a car with the check engine light blinking on and off, or the low oil light blinking on and off. I could hear that but I was too busy to deal with it. And so, you know, I'm just saying, I was not obedient, and the Lord was trying to get my attention. And it's actually a scheme of the enemy. He'll use the weaknesses in our soul to keep us blocked from the victory that Jesus has for us. And my heart's cry is to have a pure heart. I want a clean hands and a pure heart. I lived the life with the big fat head, and when it was all about me, and I was so stupid to believe that. And today I know it's all about Him. And I love Him so much that I just want to glorify Him, and I continually glorify Him. And when I blow it, I don't beat myself up. That's the other thing. I used to beat myself up so badly, and I have many opportunities. The Lord would give me a word to speak to somebody, and I'd be too shy, and I wouldn't release it. And then the enemy would be like, "You call yourself a Christian?" You know, and just nah, nah, nah. And so tired of being beat up, I would finally start to release the words. And what I found out is, one of the things I want to say is, when the Lord gives you a word for somebody, there's already been a draw placed, meaning they're crying out for help. And I didn't know that. You know, I missed that in the Bible. But somebody so kind, because I'm like, "Lord, you got to help me with this." And somebody actually showed me in Scripture where that was. And I couldn't tell you now because it was so long ago. And it's so deep in my soul that when I listen and if I hear a word, I now obey. You know, because there's nothing worse than a moldy word. You know, and I've had many moldy words. You know, one time I had to correct somebody, and they were in a high position, and I was like, I was seeing the stuff, and I'm like, "There's no way I'm saying anything," and I'm pleading the blood, and I was too chicken, and then it became a moldy word, and the Lord still made me deal with it, and I think He was breaking me out of my shyness, and, you know, the word didn't have the impact that it should have had the day before, but I still delivered it, and I don't know if that person knew there was a delay, but it still went into that person. Is that making sense? Okay. And so, you know, I'm all about being corrected. And so if you feel correction, I don't want you to feel condemnation, because they're two different things. And I know people struggle with condemnation, and I just want you to, if you're starting to like feel like, "Oh, you know, this," just ask the Holy Spirit to give you truth. And if you ask Him, because He is the Spirit of truth, He will lead and guide you in all truth. And so this is with any word that's received or released. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Is this true?" Because sometimes words are emotional words, and they're designed to actually stop the work of God. Because if the enemy can get your soul to engage with a soulish word that's been released, that's a dead word. And often it brings confusion. So I'm just saying that. So when you hear teachings, "Is this true? Is this you? And what are you trying to say to me?" Those are big things I say when I'm asking the Lord stuff. And so, like I said, you know, I should tell you, I came from, you know, my mom and dad, they made me work, you know, and I didn't get allowance unless I did my chores, you know, so that was like a lot of years ago. I don't know what it's like now. But they taught me responsibility, and I thought that was a good thing. I didn't like it at the time. But as I got older, I saw, oh, it is, you know, this is the earthly system, which, you know, they taught me. And so my dad actually was a workaholic. He worked three jobs when I was younger. And I actually worked for him part-time at one of his jobs. And I think I was like 12, you know. So I've worked all my life. You know, we all had chores and we all had things to do. And that carried over, you know, because we are spirit and flesh. And so in my life, I thought those were good things. So when I was, you know, serving the Lord, it was, somehow when I read in that scripture, "Do unto Him in excellency," you know, that was in my innards, where I cannot not do unto Him in excellency. You know, I just can't, because it's just part of who I am. And I don't say that in pride. I just say it. It's something in me. And so that is good, but there was also some bad from my work ethic mind, which was actually causing me problems. And the Lord was trying to get my attention, and I was too busy making sure that everything was done in excellence, that if I thought somebody wasn't doing it in excellence, I would come along and help them. And actually, I was stunting their spiritual growth. And it wasn't, this was not out of a spirit of pride, where it has to be done by me, or it wasn't that. This was the Lord has been unveiling things to me from my early childhood, which is tied into this. And I'm gonna teach a bit about rebellion. And you're thinking, what does that have to do with unto him and excellency? Well, I was rebelling when he was trying to get my attention because I thought I knew better because of my work ethic to get it done. And there was this, I actually had a spirit on my back which was a taskmaster. You know, his name is Taskmaster. And he was pushing and driving me. And I had to battle that thing for, I battled that for many years, and I'd get a little breakthrough and then I'd be back under him again. And, you know, many times of deliverance and replacing false belief systems with his truth. But there was still this little remnant, and that I call slivers. And so for me, has anybody ever had a sliver? Okay, now when you have a sliver and you don't deal with it, it gets callous. There's a callous that grows over it. But even though there's a callous, it still hurts if you push on it hard enough. And in my case, I had a sliver of rebellion. You know, I came out of a lot of junk when I was younger, so I dealt with that. You know, because they, you know, rebellion is unto witchcraft. And I'm like, I'm not in witchcraft. It's, you know, and so I'm talking about the slivers, those little slivers that cause delay or cause a blessing to skip by. And it's not God skipping by, it's the sliver causing the issue. It's never God. And so in my case, you know, I was crying out because I knew, you know, I'd see that engine light coming on, and I could feel things were different. Because here's the thing, things are different. The time we are in isn't what it was a year ago, okay, in the spiritual realm. And God has already called all hands on deck last year. That was the call. This year, it's now all about holiness and purifying your heart. Get your heart right in him, because the winds are blowing. And if it's of the flesh, it will fall. And so, I'm sorry to say this, but we have a lot of people in the body of Christ who, Holly talked about this last night, who can parrot a message or sound like they're spiritual, and young believers can't tell the difference because there's so much plastic that they've never ate and tasted the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's a scripture. And so the season that we're in, the slivers are rising. The calluses are coming off. And the grace has never been easier to get delivered of these little fine things. Because there's an acceleration in the Spirit where he wants his bride spotless and ready. And so the call right now is we are pulling people out of the enemy's camp, pulling people out of the kingdom of darkness, and we're watching them get washed in the blood of the Lamb and on fire for Jesus and running past us. Amen? So the slivers, they don't even have the slivers of rebellion because they're so caught up in the goodness of God because they've come out of corruption and they've been in plastic for so long. Meanwhile, the older saints who have been with him for so long, and you know, I just got to say, Holly has a great teaching called Running the Race Set Before You, and Healing Oasis, Raising the Emotionally Dead. You know, some of us have had promises, and they just didn't come forth yet. Well, that's not because God didn't speak them. It's because of the season and the time. And I heard a prophecy from, what year was that, Holly, when we read that paper? 85, 89? 87. We read this word that was released in 1987, and it is the nowest now word I've read in a long time or heard. And basically, I'm just going to tell you, it's all about dealing with the issues of our heart, rebellion, pride, you know, because he's giving us stuff to steward, and if we're prideful and we haven't dealt with that, then it's all about us and what we've done for God, and it's never about us. It's always about him. And so if that is in your heart, you know, you need to repent and ask God to show you truth and where there's issues of your heart to deal with. And that's why we do Free Indeed. It's to bring people out of their locked lives and into the blessings of the Lord. And so in my case, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take adultery. You know, if you're an older saint and you're feeling a little slimed or, you know, maybe backslidden, You know, did we just get settled and settle in and say, well, I guess this is it. This is the call that I have. Well, I thought I was going to raise the dead, but here I am. You know, maybe I missed it. I'm going to tell you something. You didn't miss it. Right now is the time and season to get sharp in the spirit. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Oh, I don't like praying in tongues. Well, listen, the devil doesn't like it either. Just saying. Just saying. I felt that one hit. Bless, bless, bless. You know, Paul did it more than anybody. That's scripture, friends. And so if you can get hung up on the simple gifts of the Spirit, how are you going to be effective for the kingdom if you're not walking in the gifts of the Spirit? Talking about counterfeit now, or head knowledge. Head knowledge, we love head knowledge. We love teachers. But it's the move of the Holy Ghost that's going to get stuff done in the season that we're in. We need to be sharp. Sharp. And so, you know, I love to fast, and I love to pray in tongues. Those build up my spiritual being. They build me up. And so I'm trying to stay on task. And like I said, this is just in a simple keep note. I have taught this, I don't know how many times now, but and it's always different because of who's in the room. And I wish I had better notes, but I don't, because this was just for me, okay? But I found out it's for everybody. And so what happened was, in my life, I got too busy, and I was doing assignments I was no longer assigned to. And one thing, and then people weren't stepping up to their assignments. And so the old trick of the enemy, well, then Lori has to do it because nobody else is going to do it. I've learned to let it fall, because Jesus will either resurrect it or he won't, and it's not up to me. And so that was huge against my work ethic. Huge. It's in contrast with what I was taught. But who am I going to believe, the word of the Lord or the word of my parents? Sometimes we have to challenge what we were taught as kids. And so I could feel the woo of the Holy Spirit. He was trying to woo me back into that deep place in him where I love to go. But I was so busy in performance mode, making sure the flyers were done or whatever was done, that I could feel like crustacean coming on me. And you wouldn't know it, and most people won't know it, but God knows it, and I know it. And that's who I account to. I don't account to you guys. I account to him. And so what happened was, the more that I took on stuff that I wasn't supposed to take on, the worse I felt, because I was like out of the will of the Lord. That was a sliver of rebellion. And so the Lord, deep calluses, so the Lord gently started to open. And in the natural, what was happening was, hold on, I'm thinking of something. And I'm looking at those guys over there. I get distracted so easily. Lord, bring me back. Okay, here I am. Okay, so what happened was, it wasn't God's best. I was out of balance. And you can live this way until you crash, because that's what happens, okay? When you run out of oil, you crash. Your car stops running. Or you can listen to the woo of the Holy Spirit. And so I was listening, but I was pulled back to the tasks. And I knew there was a spirit on my back, like pushing me, get it done, get it done. And so I had to pray into the keys for that. And so I'm praying into the keys. And you know, because if we knew how to do it, we'd do it, right? If God said, you need to wear red today, you'd wear red today, right? And that'll bring victory. Whatever it is, it's always simple in him. And in my case, I was like, in my case, I was pushing too hard. And one of the things, I came from an alcoholic drug addiction background, and God supernaturally set me free. You know, I went through the AA program and did all that and would relapse. And then one day, and it happened at Edgar and Holly services. And I don't even have a desire for addiction. I don't even, the truth is, the Holy Ghost came on me so strong, and I met him and knew everything else was plastic. And he would woo me with these incredible things that would go through my body, better than any drug I'd ever taken. And, you know, when you do the drug, it's the first hit that you always try to get, and then the rest is bondage and brokenness. But in this case, it was always fresh and alive, and it wasn't a hit. It was the wholeness of God manifesting through me and doing healing and deliverance for me. And so so that was my lifestyle. So with the taskmaster, I actually became addicted to I used to be a list person. Who's out there that's the list people? Amen. Amen. Ooh, I got some good news for you. So in my case, I actually liked writing the list. You know, I'd sit with the Lord, I'd pray, and I'd write all this stuff out, and I loved to scratch off that list. I didn't like the computer list. I liked to check it off, you know, like a puzzle you work, you know, on paper, like whatever. And so what happened was the list started getting more and more because the taskmaster took advantage of my soulish issues and would like put more on and put more on, and I would feel good if I could accomplish it all. But then it came to the point where the list was so long and unattainable, it was impossible. And I remember the day it happened. It was a Wednesday, and I was heading to go preach in Lake Geneva, and I had all these places I had to go, and my list with me, you know, you check it off after each victory, and the last place I went before I went to the service, I was moving some furniture. I was donating furniture to a missions thing, and I felt this hit in my throat, and my throat swelled up. And I said, the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I'm praying in tongues. I'm thinking, oh, somebody just word cursed me or something. And I'm praying on it because I felt the hit. And I didn't, you know, I'm like, oh, normally I get the victory. And I did get the victory. And so I went and preached that night. And the lump in my throat was pretty large. In fact, it caused me, when you talk a lot, if you don't lubricate, it gets dry, and it was dry, and I was actually like choking on my words a couple times, but I didn't say anything to anybody because I learned I never share when I'm under attack. I always share the victory because I hate to glorify the enemy, you know, and I'm praying on this, and so I go home that night, and I don't feel good. I'm sick, and so I'm asking the Lord, what's going on? Well, I had a huge open door because the taskmaster was grinding me to the bones, and I was enjoying it because I got the gratification of the flesh to check off the list. Hello, back there, row 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, 5, sorry. So I was addicted to the pressure. It was like an alcoholic on a dry bender. You know, I never was one of them where, you know, I drink and drink and drink. But I knew some people that would go months without drinking, and then they drink. And I was like, why not just drink all the time? What, you know? I just didn't get it, you know? And so I get it now. But so I had addictive behavior, you know, still. And I was like an alcoholic on a bender, but only it was with the task and the list. So it's the same thing, just a different substitute. And so... so that night I go to bed and I'm exhausted. You know, when you run that hard, you know, and plus now I have sickness in my body. And so I self-diagnosed myself because I'm one of those people that I really stand on the word. I've had so many creative miracles. I don't need a doctor. Jesus is my doctor, and I'm not against medical treatment at all. I think it's good for people. You know, but in my case, I lived in the supernatural. I lived under Edgar Bailey Ministries when eyes opened and, you know, I saw the power of God heal and deliver, and I had so many healings and deliverances. I've had bones go back in place, ribs, you know, supernaturally healed. So I believe in supernatural healing and deliverance. And so I'm like, I was praying on it, and I diagnosed myself, and this is what I had. First, before I tell you that, I want to say, remember when, somebody was talking about cell damage, you know, cellular memory. Remember that when they were talking about that? And so I was thinking about that because, you know, that's huge in healing if we recognize that. Yeah, it was your story, yeah. And so I self-diagnosed myself with cellulitis, you know, because I've had it before and on my leg and on my arm once. And it was because of rebellion. And I found the root to that, but I didn't find it right away. But I'm asking out, Lord, you got to help me. You got to deliver me. What's up? And he's not saying nothing. And meanwhile, the enemy's whispering in my ear, you know, it's cancer. It's, you know, Google your symptoms. And I'm like, I refuse to open Google to check any symptom. I just refuse because it opens the door to doubt and fear. And then the enemy has made his way in deeper into my soul. And so I'm laying there in bed and I'm like, you know, he's trying to tell me this is bad. It's cancer. You know, it's cancer. And I'm like, Lord, what do you say? And he goes, it's a virus. And I'm like, okay, you're telling me it's a virus, but why can't you heal me? Why am I not receiving my healing? And he didn't say nothing. And so the next 3 days I took off and I just kind of slept and listened to healing scriptures because I was really feeling bad. And what ended up happening, I'm crying out, I'm like, Lord, you got to show me the truth. What am I missing? See, I love saying that. Lord, show me the truth. What am I missing? Because when you do that, he's obligated. He's obligated to help you come into truth. And so 3 days after that, we're in a conference. Holly's a guest speaker at, and I'm working the CD table in the back. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to everything, and this lady comes up, and God had the keys in her hand. Now, I'm going to share this because what she said to me was, she started sharing her testimony of how she got healed of lymphatic cancer. And she was trying to tell me this, but another lady was standing next to her and kept rudely interrupting her testimony. And it was the most bizarre behavior I've ever seen. And I'm thinking, the blood of Jesus, what is up with this lady? And really, it was the enemy manifesting in her to cause the truth not to come out of this lady's mouth. But God is so gracious. And so I'm looking at this, and this other lady who's trying to tell the story is like, what is up with this lady? And this is what she said. This is the only part of the story I got to hear. She said her cells were in rebellion, ding, 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 and she got healed from listening to a teaching. I never got to hear her testimony, but her cells were in rebellion. That rang, and I'm like, there's something here. And so I knew, you know when God's bringing you fresh water, and you're like, oh, I want to drink, and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens? That's what happened. It was like the truth was there, and the enemy was trying to steal it, but because I was crying out for truth, God overrode that demonic person, and caused me to pick up your seeds. It's a seed of rebellion, you know. And so I go back that night and I'm like, Lord, I know this is a now word for me. I know you're trying to get me truth. Will you help me with this? And so a couple days go by and I'm praying on it and I'm sleeping and resting. And then a few days later, I was so positioned for truth because I walked into Holly's office and Holly said something like, this is what I saw. I saw this big old bright light come on me. And I heard, like, your cells are in rebellion or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God, that's it, that's it. So I pressed in, and this is what he gave me. So my system was off course because I was in rebellion, you know. And so Galatians 6, 7, and 8, he that sows to the flesh reaps corruption. I was sowing to the flesh. I was doing things out of the flesh instead of by the Spirit. Measuring the works of the flesh and justifying it. But it's for the kingdom of God. It's for God's work. It's, you know, and it's really a work of the flesh. It's a trick of the taskmaster, and it's one that he uses commonly. And so, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that night I laid down and I did some serious repenting. That I love repenting. Repenting is huge, and I don't think it's preached enough. I don't think people realize the gold that comes forth from repenting, from turning away from what you thought was right and acknowledging to God that you were wrong and then asking him to replace it with his truth or however it goes, because it's different for each time. And so I renounced and broke the word curses over my life because I was like murmuring. Why can't somebody else do this? Why do I always have to be the one to do this? Well, when you're speaking flesh, you're going to get corruption. And so I had to, I'm still working in another area that the Lord showed me, but I had to go against my fleshly nature. I had to subdue my flesh and believe God's word is true and that the power of the Holy Spirit will either rise up or cover up whatever he chooses. And it's not up to me, it's not up to me, it's not up to me how the outcome comes. So I had to do this. So right away when I did that night, you know, when I renounced, I started to feel that lump shrinking. I'm like, I'm on to something, you know, because you do it by faith and you believe, but when it starts to manifest in the natural, you know, I like faith and I like results. And so by faith, I'm speaking this, by the Holy Spirit, believing and trusting that his way is true. Meanwhile, the enemy's trying to tell me all this other stuff. And then the old dead self, the way I was raised, is saying, that's not how you do it. You know, so there's this battle going on, you know, and I do believe, but help me with my unbelief, was my heart's cry. Because I knew God's word is true, but help me with my unbelief. Help me with the issues of my heart. And so that night it reset my course. And I didn't say much to anybody, but I started to see a huge issues in my friends. You know, because when the Lord shows you something, oftentimes it's not just for us. It's for the body of Christ. So I started seeing like slivers of rebellion. And I'm like, this is a now word. This is like what we're doing. This season, we're getting the slivers out of my heart, and it might be slivers of pride. You know, there's many slivers. I'm just saying, and so that's all I'm saying. And so when I got filled with this revelation about a sliver, what a sliver can do, you know, we know what bold rebellion does. It brings a curse, and it, you know, every word, it brings confusion and all kinds of problems, strife, envy, all that stuff. But when God started to show this and I realized it, oh my gosh, this is a now word for me. And at this point, I'm just seeing it in people, but I'm not saying a word because I don't care. I'm working on myself. And so I started to study it in the word, and I really went after it with the Lord. And he gave me some scriptures on this that I feel like we need to open up and share. And so I started to study the root of rebellion. And of course, we all know the father of rebellion is Lucifer, right? Okay? He's a fallen angel who wanted to be like God. Think about that. It makes me laugh today. But if you think about it, how were we before we were saved? Yeah. We were gods. You know, my way or the highway. And so Lucifer is not God, and he is not omnipresent. He has his own kingdom and has kings that report to him. And so I'm opening this up, and some people are like, oh, I don't like that spiritual realm stuff. Listen, you're a spirit being, whether you know it or not, and you might as well get equipped and win. So